Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You For Being a Podcast. If you listened to us before, thank you for listening to us again. If you haven't listened to us before, we are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we recap an episode of the Golden Girls, and we can deconstruct it scene by scene like a bunch of dicks. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today we have a very special guest. We have the comedic delightfulness that is Mr. Sean Collins.
Hello.
Thank you, Sean, for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm Tiff Bapp.
Tiff Bapp. Yes. On Super Bowl night, nonetheless.
This is our Super Bowl.
Super Bowl who?
Yeah. We don't care about no Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl has nothing to teach us about coming together in our golden years.
Yeah, they teach us about how to be annoying in Arizona, downtown Phoenix.
Actually, to be honest, I only watch the Golden Girls for the commercials.
So right. Like that's good. The Golden Girl commercials were the best. So we're really excited to have you. We wanted to have you actually for a really long time now. Tell us a little bit about your Golden Girls background, if any.
This episode is actually the first episode of the Golden Girls I've ever watched, start to finish. Mm-hmm. I was like aware of the Golden Girls, you know, their cultural consciousness, but I wasn't super familiar with the show other than like knew generally the plot. Older women living together.
Right. Do you feel like you've had a Pandora's box open for you and your life is different now?
I think that there were some gems in this episode, so I would like to see what else is there to be mined out of the Golden Girls.
Yeah. If you want, I mean, if you keep watching Golden Girls, it's great. If you don't, we understand.
You start watching Golden Girls, Empty Nest, maybe Nurses.
right.
The Empty Nest is a spinoff, right?
Yeah.
Empty Nest is definitely a spinoff.
Nurses is a little bit of a spinoff as well. And there is a Golden Palace, of course, that followed. Mm-hmm.
Golden Palace Girls. Would you call that a spinoff or just a second installment?
It was an anthology, I think.
Golden Palace, moving to like a Chinese food restaurant or something.
I wish they did like what they did with Sex and the City and had like the Golden Girls, but when they were younger, or like, you know, because they Sex and the City, they had like the Carrie Diaries.
Yeah, so like the Blanche Diaries.
Yeah, the Blanche Diaries, and just
that's on Showtime.
but they're just like 35. And they're like married, and we see like their husbands, and yeah, but they didn't know each other, so maybe it can just be Dorothy and Sophia. Maybe
pretty much just like their weird life in Brooklyn.
Yeah, like a Laverne and Shirley kind of deal.
Sophia seems like she's got like a really complex backstory with like a lot a lot of shady stuff went on in her history.
Mm-hmm. There's some sketchy stuff we find out about Sophia later. But today we watched an awesome episode, and I say that all the time, but this one was delightful because of some certain awesome dance numbers. And we watched from season 1, episode 18, The Operation. That's the title. And the original air date was February 8th, 1986. So 29 years ago, roughly. And Genevieve, do you want to do a brief synopsis?
I want to be a synopsis, everybody. This is always my dream.
Thank you for being a synopsis.
Okay, so basically, Rose, Blanche, and Dorothy are participating in this tap class where they're going to do a recital. And Dorothy ends up getting injured, but turns out she has a very serious condition where she needs an operation on her foot. Mm-hmm. And so basically the show goes on for Rose and Blanche, and Sophia drinks in the park. Good episode.
Yay.
That's her whole subplot.
That's the subplot. Yay. Okay. So the first scene, we start off with a lovely shot of the patio. Not the patio, but the front porch. Yeah. And we see Rose opening the door, and they're bringing in a injured Dorothy, like her foot's injured. And Sophia's sitting in the living room. She's crocheting or knitting.
She's knitting. Knitting. She knits one, purls two.
So she's knitting. Okay, so she's okay. So they come in, and then Sophia's freaking out. Dorothy injured her foot doing some dance moves, and they're all wearing like super like let's get physical like dance gear.
It's very yeah. It's very Olivia Newton-John.
Very Olivia Newton-John. It's nonstop, nonstop Olivia Newton-John. And so then okay, so then they sit down and they're like, you need a. Rose shows off her dance moves.
Mm-hmm. Like, weirdly, like, let me just do the dance that you can't do. I know you're hurt, but everyone look at me for a second.
Yeah.
Like,
tap
dance. Rose is like Betty Davis in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane in this entire episode.
Yeah. She just, look at me, look at me. She just, yeah. She's, she wants to be the star. She wants to be the, she's like a, like the youngest child needing attention, kind of.
You can see, like if they were in a car accident, like on the way, and like Dorothy's trapped in the car, and the firemen show up. It's like, well, we were on our way back from the recital, and this is the dance that I do at the recital. If you want to watch real quick,
look at my sexy leotard.
And Dorothy's body's like mangled, trapped.
She's not going anywhere. Just watch me for a second.
She's like, I'm not mangled. Here you go. I'm fine.
Oh man.
You need a little dance to get you through zipping up that body bag.
Oh great. And so she does this weird dance, like she's tap dancing. She's always wanted to be a tap dancer ever since she was a child. And so but the other women, they're like, you're being fucking stupid. So rightfully so.
This is just a class we're taking at the senior center.
Yeah. And it's so funny because like they like when did they become dancers? Like there were bowlers, golfers.
Since they gave them $60.
Yeah. Like they constantly come up with like different things that they're into, you know, like just to I don't know. They're
multifaceted characters.
And so they're like, Sophia, what are you? Dorothy's like, Ma, what are you making? And she's like knitting. So she's knitting something. She says, I'm making like a cozy for Sherry.
A cherry cover.
Sorry. My shushes are weird. I went through speech therapy for my shushes. And so I used to say chef or cha. And so I still say chair sometimes when I'm saying chair. So anyway, so she's part of this cloud society who just drink in the park and they stare at clouds.
Very loosey-goosey membership. You will kind right? of wander just, in and out of the group.
It's just me and a bunch of hobos.
Yes! And she's saying like she can't use a paper bag. Because people keep going up to her and asking her for a swig. But, you see an older woman at a park swigging out of a booze. Are you going to ask her for some?
I don't know. You don't know my life.
You would ask her for some.
Just politely. Just, hello, madam. May I have a swig out of your bottle?
I'm
very right. Nice.
Can I have some of your sherry?
I really respect your cozy.
I tried sherry once and I didn't like it. It was strong, bitter. I don't know. It was heavy.
I don't know. It's not a traditional drink in the park kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's more like booze.
It's definitely something you would drink like in public when you've like dialed it up to 11. Mm-hmm. When you're like, I'm getting arrested today. Like. I know I'm old, I'm sick of them showing up and like I'm shoplifting or something and they're like, just put it back, we'll give you a ride home. It's like, no, I want you to take me in. Like, all right, bust out the sherry.
And I imagine them just like laying down, they have to lay on the ground for the Cloud Society. So they're like laying on the grass.
I don't have to.
Oh, well, do they just stare? Like, are they on a bench?
I don't think there are a lot of rules in this club.
Yeah. I think it's mostly about the being outside while drinking.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's mostly right. It. And then the cloud dreams.
Do you think maybe, what if they're smoking pot and like they're trying to figure out what the clouds of their pot looks like? Or like they're going all the way gangster on this shit. No?
Maybe.
I mean, they probably, I sort of get the sense the whole like cloud society thing is just a cover. Like, she made, like, they just wind up on their back staring at the sky. So, like, I guess we're a cloud society.
This is nice. I'm not standing. Yeah. Basically, I'm looking at clouds. I'm pretty drunk right now.
This like, feels wait, good.
Wait for my annoying family.
Okay. And so, all right. So then. They're hungry, so they go eat this leftover salad in the kitchen. And then Dorothy's like saying that she's gonna be fine, she doesn't need to see a doctor. And everyone's like, you should go see a doctor because that's good for you. And she said, I forget the dialogue, but I think Blanche is like
you should see a doctor. And she's like,
1965, yeah. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, okay. And, oh, she, well, Rose tap dances her way into the kitchen.
She's still tap dancing Rose. Like,
yeah.
She's not letting it go.
Not stop. Well, yeah, she's not letting go. She almost runs into one of the plants. I don't know if you caught that. And then Blanche is like, calm the fuck down, dude. We're home now. Stop showing off that you can dance in front of Dorothy, who just got her foot injured. Like,
yeah, she's like dancing in front of a limping woman.
Yeah.
It's like, remember that woman you had to carry in the house like 5 minutes ago?
My foot's not hurt. I get to say, like, just from this one episode, I feel like Rose, like, she strikes me as someone who's always starting a brand new phase of her life. So she's
yes.
like committed. 100%.
She bought a gun once.
She has like probably limited short-term memory, so it's yeah. just every day is a new day.
Today I'm blackface.
Yeah, just taking a blackface class down at the senior center.
Today I don't like Mexicans.
She's doing like vaudeville blackface dancing at the civic
best
center.
Al Jolson.
That's the episode that did not air. Okay, then she goes into the kitchen and she's like, sorry, I get really excited. When I was a kid, I used to get in trouble for petting the cat too hard. And then I was sitting with Molly Dean when we watched this. She's like, dude, that sounds like she's jerking off as a kid too hard. And I'm like, and then Blanche and Dorothy's faces are like in disgust. Like,
they're just like, you masturbate really poorly. We knew this about you, but now we really know.
To the point where she got in trouble. Like, how aggressive do you masturbate as a kid?
His family are just like, you need to really work on your masturbation. Gross.
You need to be less aggressive.
Get her.
We're sick of having to buy you like new
toys.
Yeah. New vaginas.
New vaginas.
It was also a face.
You destroyed your clit. Like 3 times.
But when you're a kid, you touch yourself. It's part of growing up. You know, like as a baby. You're so, like when you're
maybe not a baby.
Yeah. Like when you're don't you touch yourself when you're like 3? You're just like, whoa, wait, my penis.
I think it's supposed to be like a major step in your development, like when you discover your own.
Yeah.
Failure.
Yeah. Do you think that was it or was it later?
Maybe. I got the sense. True. I definitely think it was a masturbation euphemism.
Okay.
That one scene. Because it's like a weird, like, it's not really a joke. It's just like, I used to pet
right.
the cat too hard.
But
and
like,
then they look weird. And then, it, right. like, is there a punchline to that or are you just like.
Because these are, okay.
You break your cat's spine
like,
or something?
By my like, cat, I mean my vagina.
Right, right. Because these are, like, probably seasoned writers that wrote for, like, Maude, you know, that Dorothy was like, bring them in, you know. And so they know, they they know a dirty joke when they see one.
Yeah.
So it had to be one. Okay. So then the scene sort of ends with Dorothy saying, okay, I'll go fucking see a doctor. Like, 20 years not seeing a doctor at that age, that's really dangerous.
I mean, for that issue.
For a foot issue?
For a foot issue.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, she probably goes to the doctor, but, like, she that's been diagnosed, and she doesn't want to deal with it.
Oh, so yeah. It was diagnosed, because she later on...
Yeah, because she said, like, she talked to the doctor in 60, and she knows, like, even what it's called, like, Morton's neuroma or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But I thought the doctor... No, you're probably right. Like, she knew about it. She was in denial. Didn't... If you have a fucking tumor in your foot, and you go 20 years, like, that can spread, right?
It is it's a benign tumor. Basically, Morton's neuroma is, like, it's like a benign tumor between your second and third metatarsals on your foot. Mm. And, like,
we look.
Aerosmith had one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was that on Wikipedia?
Yeah. Aerosmith. There was, like, a whole section of celebrities
that had Norton's neuroma.
Yeah, yeah. So, it you know, fucks up your foot, but it doesn't really grow.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So.
Okay. So she just ignored it. Now it's actually affecting her because she wants to dance now. Okay, the next scene, we start off, the carpet is rolled up, and they're dancing, they're tap dancing, and they're wearing these black, like, nylon pantyhose?
Was that pantyhose? Yeah, they're wearing, like, pantyhose, and they're wearing, like leotards.
Leotards, okay. And their legs look amazing.
They got some cans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they, yeah. Like they, they're those, yeah. If you covered their faces, I would have been like, whoa, those are Tina Turner aggressive hot legs. I was like, good job, Dorothy and Rose. I was very impressed. And okay, so music is playing out of nowhere. We don't know, like, it just playing.
Boombox.
They're sort of breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah,
a boombox, yeah. Like,
do it directly at the camera. Mm-hmm. Know, like.
Yeah, they're like performing for us. Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good.
And so they do this tap dance, and what I thought was weird was, like, Blanche's crotch was, like, really dark, like her underwear was dark, and so she had this long shirt, and it just looked like a dark abyss in her crotch. And I thought that was, like, a metaphor for an endless amount of dick that she gets.
It was just, like, a growing darkness inside. Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
The Brea Tarp is, like, you get, once you're in there, like, you're not getting back out.
Okay. And so they do the dance, and I thought it was they were really good. I was very surprised that they're very, very excellent. I was like, you practice, or you were probably dancers at some point, you know?
Yeah, like one of the, I feel like it might be one of those situations where, like, the actors are like, this is a thing I can do. Let's work this into the show.
Right.
This is on my resume.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like when you're a hula hoop artist. Yeah,
they're like, I can do this. I can do jazz dancing. And then, I can do magic.
And I can understand. Yeah, magic. And then I can understand why, like, I don't see Dorothy as being a dancer. Like, I can't see Bea Arthur.
She's got some legs, though.
Yeah, she does. We saw today.
Yeah,
she had legs.
Yeah, when they bring her in, they pop her on the couch. Mm-hmm.
Well, she crosses her legs and her pants become tight because she got... And then... Which that has never happened in the series so far. Like, we see definition of her legs. She's usually draped, like, head to toe draped.
I mean, most of her outfits are, like, they maximize her torso.
They do.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, yeah, they basically go, like, past mid-thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, past mid-thigh.
Yeah.
And so you're right, yeah. And so we were able to see, but she has good legs, but I don't see Bea Arthur generally being the kind of person that would enjoy, like, such a happy thing to do or be a dancer that way, you know. I don't, and I never.
Do you think this injury is a cover?
Oh, maybe.
Well, she, yeah, if she's been struggling with it for like since 1965, it's weird. Like all of a sudden now it's a problem, and like now you need to get the operation.
Yeah.
Right. So could, but yeah, okay. So maybe that's a good theory. We'll keep that in mind. And so Dorothy, okay. So then they're like doing the dance, and like they're like go. So they go go Dorothy, and they just point at air. Which I thought was good. I thought that was really funny.
I wish they kept that in the act.
What if they did?
Just because them.
They're rehearsing. They know she can't perform. So why are they doing that bit that way? So
I think they're still holding out hope. They don't really know that she needs the operation yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe they're just.
She's, I think if she's like at the doctor's office when they're doing that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, she's so injured that I was like, yeah. Okay, she would need more than, like, a day or two to recover.
And she did mention later on, like, I'll be good in, like, a couple days. And I was like, no, you won't.
No.
For a dancing contest.
No.
Yeah.
You cut your foot open.
Right. You're insane, Dorothy. Mm-hmm. And so then they finished their dance. And then I saw a boom mic. Did you see that boom mic? Above,
I like to find that stuff too. Yeah. I watch for that kind of thing.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed I missed that.
Well, when they did the white shot and then Sophia was coming in, you could see the boom mic being pulled up, like the tapping was over. Pull up the
Gotcha Golden Girls
production. Yeah, Gotcha production team.
Your mistake lives on forever.
Forever, we know it. And then
the boom mic had a nice credit in this episode. Yeah.
You know what? It did in Golden Girls Wiki, because I was reading about the episode on Golden Girls Wiki, and it said bloopers and outtakes. There is a boom mic that is in the shot of them dancing. And I was like, all right, somebody noticed.
That's there should be a list, like just all a list of all the boom mics in the entire run of the series.
We should make like a YouTube video of just like boom mics and shots.
Boom mic supercut.
That would be amazing. If that's not out there, it needs to get made. Listeners, please make this happen. Okay, then Sophia comes in. She's like, I ain't gonna do that shit. Don't ask me to dance.
She's probably drunk.
She's probably wasted from drinking sherry in the park because she came from.
Graduated to smoking crack in the park. We still look at clouds, so it's still the Cloud Society, but we just smoke crack.
And we did like a crack cozy.
She made it really fast.
Sophie strikes me as like a little bit like self-destructive, like maybe not on purpose, you know, like I was saying before, I get her really like Frank Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care anymore. Like, right. I'm going to do whatever. I don't care about social norms. Mm-hmm. A drink in the park where children are playing, you know.
Definitely.
I'm old. I'm short. She's like, and later I got in the series, money.
She's the first like, Frank Reynolds.
Crazy, like, she's telling crazy stories about how, like, yeah, in Sicily, they hold you down with a pillow and cut your appendix out while you scream.
I know. No anesthetic. They just, like, put a pillow on your they smother you. Which could kill you, and then they take out your appendix. That's insane. Oh, my God. Okay. And so Dorothy comes in, and she's wobbly still. She came from the hospital to see the doctor, or probably the doctor's office. Probably the hospital? I don't know. She didn't say. She came from the doctor. And so
suspiciously nonspecific.
She came from a physician's office, maybe in a hospital, maybe in a medical center.
Right.
We do not know.
We do not know. But yeah, and so everyone stops doing what they're doing and she comes in. And then when she comes in, they all like grab her hand to help her come in. But I'm like, if she needs that much help, you should have gone with her. Like, why did you let her go? Like,
well, didn't she have like a crutch or something?
She had a cane.
Yeah,
cane.
She has a cane, but I don't know if she, like, does she usually have a cane or is it just for this episode?
No, okay. Just for this episode.
No, just, she's not a cane person.
She seems strong. Like, I'm not gonna walk around with a cane, you know?
Right. I mean, I think she could be a cane person.
Eventually,
yeah.
But not now.
So Dorothy's like, I got Norton's Neuroma, and then it fucking sucks. Like, I'm not going to go to the doctor, though, which boggles my mind. Like, you can't dance. You want to dance. She said it like she wants to be a part of this team. And then Blanche gives her this speech about how you need to do this. And then Sophia is the one that gets to her. She's like, you're hurting me as a mother, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's like,
guilt trip time.
Yeah. He's like, this hurts more than when I was getting burnt when I was a fry cook working, getting you through college. And I was just like, whoa, that just painted like a whole different world.
This hurt my 23 hours of labor with you. Yeah.
23 hours of labor and then working as a fry cook.
Splash with fryer grease. And
right. But I can imagine Sophia working like an Italian restaurant or something.
That
but
should be a the prequel. Like.
Or at a pizza joint, you know.
She was frying some calamari. Some mozzarella sticks.
She was working at the Krusty Krab, guys.
Krusty Krab.
My clam. I prepared myself some clam strips for you.
That's why clam you strips. Should get this operation, because clam strips are hard to cook. I kind of lost my point, but
I was breading clam strips hours straight, burning my face.
Clam strips are, they're breaded, they're not that good. They're usually kind of shitty.
Yeah, do not eat clam strips, people. Calamari is
we are con.
I like calamari. I like the tentacle.
I love calamari.
Of calamari. Like,
me too.
Calamari is like good.
The squid still.
I like clams, normal clams, not fried.
Not fried clams.
Yeah, what's the point? It's just like goo fried.
Fried goo.
Fried
that
goo.
Should be on the menus. It's
fried goo.
Yeah, it feels, yeah, it's not an improvement. Don't eat clam strips. That's. If you have one takeaway from this podcast,
do not eat clam strips.
You're better than that.
And they're usually, I used to work at Joe's Crab Shack, and they would sit out all day long. And then yeah, it's gross. Sorry, Joe's Crab Shack.
Oh, man.
Sorry. We're too busy dancing.
There goes that sponsorship.
Right. I hate them. They're dicks. Okay, I worked there for 2 years. I can talk shit about the clam strips. Okay, so then she's like, I'm not, like, Jordy's like, I'm not going to have the surgery. And then they're like, you got to go. And then so she's like, okay, fine, I'll go. So the next scene, they're at the hospital. Do you want to say something?
Well, I was going to say, I think it is later. I was going to ask, like, doesn't she tell a story about how she's afraid of hospitals? But I think that's.
Oh, no, that is right there. Yeah.
Is it there? Or?
It was at that moment. Yeah.
Okay.
She says, like, I'm afraid of being alone in a hospital because you left me there because of your Uncle Mario.
Her uncle.
Was it Uncle Mario there?
Uncle Mario had a funeral in Cleveland. Got stabbed 23 times, but they were at a block party. Yeah. And
the entire neighborhood rose up to murder her uncle.
Dude, yeah, like that was it's one of my favorite jokes so far in the Golden Girls, because I literally like I cracked up because she was like, just her delivery was so good. She's like everybody hated your Uncle Mario. 27 stab wounds at a block party and nobody saw a thing. And just like her face shaking.
Yeah.
Like, it was perfect. Loved it. Listeners, watch this episode just for that joke. It's amazing.
So, yeah, Sophia goes to that funeral. Dorothy's dad, he's in Brooklyn. He's not at the funeral because he fucking hates Uncle Mario. Probably stabbed him.
He's probably on the run from the police or something.
Yeah, totally.
So he doesn't go to Dorothy's side in this probably terrifying Brooklyn hospital. So now she's afraid of hospitals and doesn't want to go back.
But if you're like a kid, can they do surgery on you when there's not a parent there? Or like
someone brought her in.
I think, yeah.
Someone brought her in. Well, it is.
They dumped her on the doorstep of this hospital.
It is an older time. Like, it's a 60s probably.
I don't know.
Probably his, or 50s.
I saw the Nick, the operating kids in that show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Nick.
That was 1900s.
So that's the reason why. And then you have a rebuttal. She has a rebuttal, Sophia, as to why that happened. And she's like, sorry, fuck. That's life, you know? And so
sometimes, you know, a neighborhood kills your uncle and you gotta have your appendix out by yourself.
Right. Yeah. They should have just like had them stab Dorothy and get the appendix out at the same time. If there was gonna be 27 stabs,
they could have had a couple extra stabs to tear off.
Brooklyn has a lot of Cleveland has a lot of stabs.
Multitask, people. You got somebody being stabbed way too many times and somebody that needs stabs. Okay.
I like that. Surgery. I need stabs.
I need stabs quick.
10 cc.
I need stabs will do.
I need stab stat. So the next scene, Dorothy submits and they're in this hospital. The biggest hospital room I've ever seen in my life.
Like cavernous.
Enough to tap dance. Almost.
Almost like it's a dressed up science stage.
Maybe almost like it's a studio in Burbank. And
it's the worst hospital though that she goes to. Like, there's that scene where like she doesn't want to be left alone, but then visiting hours are over, so everyone has to leave, and then like the doctor comes in. And the doctor's like, your original surgeon's at like a malpractice lawsuit, and he's a better doctor than me.
I'm just a bald piece of shit.
But who, like, what doctor walks in and starts talking about another doctor's malpractice?
Yeah.
Like, it's so, like, ridiculous.
This fucking Asperger's.
Let me put you at ease right away.
Let me make you feel comfortable. Like, what was... wrong. Like this,
this is
like
a charnel house.
We this is like American Horror Story second. I'm sorry. It was like American Horror Story, like an asylum where they just like perform surgeries on you and they're like, you're probably gonna die from this. Sorry.
You get this like weird, cheerful doctor that's just like, you can't prove anything. Ha ha ha.
Yeah. He's like, well, he's like, there was a switch up. People get so mad about
mix them up. There's a mix them up.
A mix them up. Yeah.
Classic mix them up.
Oh, there's this fruit basket also. Just like looks horrible. It's like
the shittiest fruit basket.
There's like tinsel coming out of it, and then the bananas are not ripe, and yet they're old at the same time, because
they're like green with like
brown spots.
Like, this is Miami. This is a good place for fruit.
Yeah,
they fucked up.
And then there's like a box of like cheese, like a cardboard box with. I think they said
cheese meal. Yeah. They said cheese meal.
It's so gross.
It looks like the fruit basket was like assembled by like a robot. Just had the concept of fruit baskets explained to them.
Look,
they're like, there's a bunch of shit in the basket, right? Like, this will brighten the room.
This is a basket made out of spite.
It looked like a child made that basket.
It's probably like Stan. Like Stan's fight basket.
Yeah. It's like when a little kid makes you a present and it just looks like garbage and they give it to you and you're like, thank you.
This is the equivalent of glue, macaroni glued on a piece of cardboard. Just like, oh no, maybe they'll leave soon and I can throw this away.
Like, do you think like one of the other girls like brought that for Dorothy, or like the hospital just gives you one of those?
It was left over from the patient that died.
The person your first doctor killed. This is her fruit basket.
The mix-up death guy. Well, Rose is like, how many people you think died here? Like, what is she? How many people never left this room?
Oh, like, Rose. Way to oh, say it's, The good grief counselor.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, that's her profession.
Yeah. How many spirits do you think inhabit this room?
I bet it's really haunted in here.
So many souls were let go in this room. Starts to tap dance. Yeah. Tap, tap, tap. Tappity tap. Okay.
As your foot, bitch.
That doctor was not a doctor. He must have been in like walked in off the streets.
He's like, I got this doctor's coat.
He like wandered in from like the methadone floor.
He just stole a coat from someone that was on their
break. Definitely has a court case the next day for sure.
Well, yeah, right? He's like, yeah, well, I'll see you tomorrow after court. Like,
right. Well, he says he's going to court for malpractice. The doctor, the first doctor, and then. Dorothy still wants him to perform the surgery for some reason. Like, she's like, but when is he going to get back? I want him to perform it. And he's like, it might be, if he has a hostile jury, it might be 3 to 4 years.
That's the thing. Like, if you're a doctor and like, you're going to go to jail for malpractice, like you really did something like deliberately wrong. Like,
right.
Usually malpractice, like you have to pay a settlement. Like you don't, it's not jail time, typically. Yeah.
Right.
Unless, like, turns out she was in, like, you know, I was just going to take her appendix out, and instead I replaced her blood with acid just because I wanted to see what happened.
I took out just took out, like, her lungs, both of them.
I just strangled a patient.
I gauged out their eyes.
And I needed to feel.
The patient bet me that I wouldn't do it, and I was like, well, I'll show you. You
know? I'm a doctor. I'm untouchable.
Oh, man. And so the doctor... Oh, and the doctor's like, we need you to sign this form that says, if we kill you, it's not our fault. Which is not a thing that I don't think... I mean, if it was like you said, like a heart transplant.
Yeah.
Maybe, but not with a foot surgery.
Yeah, like a waiver. Yeah.
Yeah, like a...
I'm pretty sure a surgeon's responsible. You know, there's certain situations where there's a real risk of death, but like, and I guess with surgery, there's always the risk, but I'm pretty sure you can sue your doctor. Yeah. Like if you go and like have your tonsils out and you die, like I think you can sue. You can't just waive all responsibility. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally illegal. 1986 is backwards, man. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then he leaves and then Dorothy's freaking out of as she should. And then
she's in like the worst hospital ever.
Yes. So. The worst hospital ever. And so then a priest comes in and
he like saunters in.
Doesn't even look at her. He just assumes she's Mr. Ferguson. Like, and starts to like pour holy water on her and then Dorothy's like, whoa, what the fuck is happening? And he's like, oh, I thought you were Mr. Ferguson. He's gonna die. I'm reading him his last rites. And this doctor just is completely oblivious.
The priest.
Sorry.
The priest. He might be a doctor.
He might be a doctor, too.
Who knows? This hospital.
Like, sometimes I just do surgeries.
Yeah. We determine who has what job based on what you come to work wearing that day.
So many people die in the hospital that they just assume that everyone's gonna die. The priest is gonna go to every room.
I make last rites rounds because
this is Miami. There's a lot of old people. There's a lot of crime.
Yes,
everyone here is dying.
I don't
know what outpatient surgery is.
He's on the clock all day, just doing last rites. He doesn't even look at anybody.
Like I could imagine at this hospital, like someone coming up the hallway with a cart with just a bunch of bodies on it, just, like, room check.
And then like they just grab the fruit baskets of each room and just switch them up. Here you go.
This is the one with the better bananas.
Miami Memorial Hospital. Abandon all hope.
Like, but when that priest came in, it was very I Love Lucy to me. Like, this is something Lucy would freak out over. Mm-hmm. And so that I like that playfulness. I really like that type of like.
I really like thing. Dorothy's expression when he like sprays her with the holy water and she like that wakes her up.
and she's like got one eye open, like, looking at him.
Like, I'm surprised it didn't burn her. She just melts. You've burned me! Holy water!
And the priest's like, see, that's why we do these demon checks.
He performs an exorcism on her.
It's like, this is my real job. This is a check for demons. I'm not even very good at that.
And then, okay, then he takes off and he's like, I might come back just in case you did die.
Because you might.
Because you might.
I just want to really reinforce
that's gonna happen, Dorothy. And then Dorothy's like, fuck this shit. She grabs her coat and takes off.
Mm-hmm. Go, girl. I would too. Cause like, and I don't know too much about her condition, but my sense was, you know, she lived with it for 20 years without it being a problem. And now, like, because she wants to dance. She needs to get it done. Mm-hmm. But then, like, she goes and basically everyone is like, you could die, by the way. Like, we're going to cut your foot open. We're a crappy hospital. Like, you know, I have malpractice court tomorrow morning.
Right.
And, you know, like, I just don't even want to get the surgery now. I'm good.
Go to a different hospital. Yeah. That's also an option.
Miami probably has a ton of hospitals.
Yeah, tons. Like, you don't have to go back to that same one if you if you don't feel comfortable. I wouldn't
do it. It's a big metro area. Known for its medical care. Right. Come on.
When I go to Mexico for my medical care, and I shop because there are doctor's offices that are sketchy as fuck down there. Like, and even my mom goes and doctor shops for me. But if we see, like, it's dirty or we don't... It's just sketchy. We just don't do it.
If before the procedure someone comes in and is like, well, your first doctor has malpractice court.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah.
These Reader's Digest magazines are from like 1994.
If I see
they're
like
covered in blood.
If I see like more than one limb, I'm out of there. And so, okay, so the next scene, Dorothy, okay, Blanche is in her room and she's putting on perfume. Who knows why? Probably gonna go see a dude, right?
She's gonna fuck somebody.
She's gonna go fuck someone. I don't know. Probably. Yes, she is. She is. She's probably gonna go fuck that doctor.
Yes.
She met a doctor in the hotel. In the hotel.
It's a hotel.
That was just a crazy mix-up.
She goes, this is the worst Ramada we've all stayed in. Yeah.
They performed surgery in this Ramada. So then Dorothy's outside, like hobbling in front of her.
Through the bushes.
Yeah, through the bushes.
She fucking walked there.
She walks.
Yeah, on the foot that she needs desperate surgery for, by the way. Like, she seems fine.
She's like, I was hanging out at a bus stop at a, like, she might have, I think she took the bus. But she was hanging out at a bus stop and
taking after her mom there, I bet.
Yeah.
She's hanging like, I had no alcohol cozy.
she was getting tired of, who was it? It was a guy dressed as Elvis with a buck tooth asking her for change. And yeah, I forget, but it was probably one of her class society friends. You're right.
Yeah.
That's just Steve. That's just what he do.
That's Steve.
He's just doing
let
him.
Let him do him, what he's doing. I wrote, a toothless old wino named Elvis asking her for money. Okay, that's why I write notes. Yay.
He's our other doctor. He's our next
He was off duty.
And so she's like, yeah, she lets her in, and then Rose comes in, and she's like, dude, call the police. I just saw, like, an old, tall, ugly man outside wearing Dorothy's coat.
Do you feel like Rose knew what she was doing? Like, she knew what she was saying.
Yeah.
She was just like, fuck you for not doing this dance. We have to reconfigure this dance.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna fucking insult you. I'm gonna say it with a voice of innocence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, because she's so
this is what you like, get. This is what for you being get. Weak.
You ruined the competition, Dorothy. Yeah.
Everybody's feet hurt. That was important. We've all been dancing.
And then she goes and says, oh, when I was a candy striper in the 50s, I saw all these botch operations and mix-ups. Like, and she says, oh, Dorothy says, do an old ugly man a favor and shut up, Rose. And I thought that was great.
She does, B. Arthur does, like, in this episode, I noticed a couple times, like, she did a lot of PowerPointing. You know, when she wants to punctuate, like she does it there, like, you know, doing an old ugly man a favor and shut up, and she does, like, a power.
Right.
It's hard for her to not point with power, because she's, like, the longest fingers.
Super long fingers.
She's got some talents.
Yeah, she can point
I
really
love B.
far.
Arthur. Mm-hmm. She's got talents.
And then Sophia barges in. Doesn't even knock.
Yeah, they just barge in.
She's got a knocker.
They all barge in. Yeah.
Like a house full of Kramers.
Kramer. Yeah. No one's polite in this house.
Yeah. It's like, what? I heard Dorothy's voice.
Like, I would think, too, because, like, I read a little bit about the show, like, and I know, like, Blanche is the one who usually has, like, the gentleman caller.
She does.
So it seems like her room would be the one that you want to knock.
You need to knock on that room. Happening
They've all seen each other naked, like, millions of times. Like, we have right. no secrets.
Right. Well, there was an episode where Dorothy was like, Blanche, you've seen me. You caught me naked in the kitchen with a donut in my mouth. And that image never went away. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I don't remember what episode it was, but I was like, oh, what? Donut? A woman's donut? What? Okay. And so then Sophia's like, you going back to the hospital or I'm performing the surgery here. Rose, get boil some water, and like Blanche, get me some
a pillow.
She
tells like, yeah, grab a shoe you think you'd like to bite down. She's like weirdly prepared to do this
but
surgery.
Didn't offer any alcohol, which she clearly has.
Right,
that
no
would
sharing.
Clearly help the situation.
Well, the alcohol's for Sophia because she needs to relax.
I need to get into my surgery room.
Need surgery mode.
Sherry helps.
And so Dorothy's convinced, I'm going back, okay? And so they're back at the hospital. And then she gets wheeled in. And there's a woman stretching outside.
Or next to her, bed. Yeah.
And when I saw that extra bed, I knew that there would be another character come in and teach her a lesson or be in worse condition. It was just very cliche story plot. Like,
yeah.
Did you guys sense that?
Yeah. I actually, when she, and I mean, especially too, because that actress, I don't know her name, but like she's an actress.
Anne Haynes. Yeah.
But like, I figured she would be, you know, she'd be like a significant character for the episode. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I was going into it, I was like, oh, she's going to die.
Right.
Yeah.
Like they're gonna bucket list it. And
she's gonna talk to me into like going through the surgery and be brave, and then Dorothy's gonna wake up and she's like, oh, she didn't make it though through her surgery.
Yeah, and then there would be like a touching moment where she passed away. Mm-hmm. Like it could have gone to that. I think the writers held back. Because they like to go there. They like to milk that fucking emotion.
The writers were like, this is coming on Saturday night. We need to keep this fucking light.
They're like,
we already got an operation.
Yeah, we should already be getting a mastectomy. We
right.
need to like,
or they're like, really we need to knife. Cut this so we can have a tap dancing routine at the end. Let's cut out the part where she dies.
Make room for more tap dancing. That was probably Betty White's demand. Like, right. I want to tap dance one more time in the episode.
This is my special skill. I did it for Ed Asner. I'll do it again. I'll do it for you.
And then, okay. And so, what happens? Like, oh, they're back. Bonnie introduces herself. And she's like, I hope my stretches don't bother you. And I'm trying to stay healthy. And then Dorothy says, I hate to break it to you, but you're in a hospital. You're not very healthy. Yeah, right. And in the Bonnie, I like that actress. She was she had a few small fun roles growing up for us. She was in Miss Doubtfire. She was the social worker. Mm. The one that during that cake scene, that famous cake scene. Great. And then she was in Liar Liar.
Yeah.
She was the secretary. Mm-hmm. You said,
okay. Yeah, Jim Carrey's secretary.
Mm-hmm. So,
is she in Cocoon, or am I thinking of? I think I'm thinking of Jessica Tandy.
Mm. I think of Jessica Tandy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm usually thinking about Jessica Tandy. So,
right, I've never seen Cocoon.
Really?
It's Wilford Brimley with I think it's Ron Howard directed it, and it's like
we should watch Cocoon. I feel like Cocoon would tie in perfectly with Golden Girls.
Really?
Yeah. It's about.
Oh, I heard about Cocoon. Yeah, yeah, it's like old people get into cocoons. And they become young?
Like the alien, yeah, there's like an alien that like makes them feel young again or something.
Whoa. Aliens, it's like a pool and they like plant all these like aliens in this pool in a senior center and they go swimming in it.
Okay, I have heard of it, but I don't think I've seen it.
And then Cocoon too, they've been on this planet for several years and then they come back.
That sounds like an amazing movie.
It is good. You should watch it.
It sounds like it could be horrible too, though.
No, it's great.
Okay, good.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember it being good.
Okay. All right, we'll watch
it. Steve Guttenberg's in it. He's hot.
Yay. Oh, and so, okay, and then Bonnie tells her, like, her sad tit cancer story. And she's... And she says she's got one cut off, and she went through the process, and then Dorothy comes to the realization that she's been bitching about nothing, mm-hmm. and so she.
This woman's going through her second mastectomy. She cut off her boobs once, and they grew back.
Like a chameleon.
Yeah. She's like, oh,
like
no.
they came back like six, like
I gotta defeat these chest monsters once again. I gotta do some stretches.
I got some boobs coming soon. Stretching.
All right. Oh, breast cancer. It's hilarious.
I have my boobs removed once every 6 months. I just like to keep it like even.
Like the elephant man of boobs. Yeah. They just keep coming. And so then the next scene, Blanche is like in the kitchen distraught. And then Rose comes in and is like, I found your shoes. They were under Sophia's mattress. I'm like, and I just thought like she squeezed them between like the mattress, like, and then the spring mattress, like she hid them. And then Rose is just like, here they are.
Mm-hmm. It's a shitty place to hide some shoes.
Yeah.
I think like when she probably went in to lift up the mattress to hide it, like I wonder what other stuff Sophia keeps under her mattress. A bunch sherry. Of like syringes and like
bottles of sherry.
I'm pretty sure I'm immortal now, so I'm
right. Gambling equipment. a small horse. Sophia's got some shady shit under her bed. And so sexual things.
Probably.
Absolutely sexual things.
Yeah.
For this show. I mean, actually, that's one thing, too, because I've listened to a couple other episodes of the podcast, and like I know that there's a lot of episodes that like focus on their sexual escapades, like even as older women, you know? Mm-hmm. And like this is a remarkably unsexy episode of the Golden Girls, I think. Like,
yeah, it really is.
Like body horror and like psychological trauma, you know, like medical incompetence. And just
right.
There's the dancing with the nice gams, though. Yeah. So yeah. They work it in.
Somewhere. So with Golden Girls, it's either like someone finds out that they're dating someone that's married or someone's dying. Like, it's just health or romance kind of are big themes. Or there's
sometimes both.
Yeah, health. I'm in love and I'm dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't Dorothy like try to fuck a doctor that was giving like her mom a house call?
Yeah.
That's right.
yes, definitely. And so Blanche and Rose have this like convo that was, it was kind of strange because Blanche is like, I can't go. I got sympathy pains for Dorothy. Ooh.
My foot hurts now. My
foot hurts now. She's making up these excuses to not go dance. And then Rose is like, but you went to dance school. And she's like, that was partner dancing. And I'm like, I've gone to dance performances and seen partner dancing. And there's an audience. Like, I sit with mm-hmm. people in a theater and see partner dancing. Like, that doesn't make sense if you went to partner dancing school, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then also, she was a rockette, remember? For like when she was 16, she said that.
Oh, really?
Oh, this is full of so many holes.
Oh, yeah, that's not consistent.
Not consistent.
By rockette, she means prostitute.
Yeah, yeah, a rockette. She was a prostitute.
I was a prostitute on the streets of New York.
Right. And then as.
They just told me I was a rocket. Yeah.
They just dressed her like a rocket. And she's like, you want to have sex with the rocket?
I was known for kicking really high.
And so then, okay, so the whole, they're wearing trench coats, by the way, which I thought was weird because it was mm-hmm. Miami. And so that's fucking hot. And then so, and so the whole time Blanche is like telling Rose the story, Rose is like stone-faced, unsympathetic. Mm-hmm. She's just like,
or yeah, she tells him like the story. Yeah, she's when she was younger, she was in like a dance class when she was like a little girl.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And yeah. She had stage fright and peed herself in front of everybody. And it's like, I mean, it's a really sad story. And I don't even think they're trying to play it for laughs, like based on the way she tells it and the way Betty White is like so stone-faced. But the audience is laughing.
Cracking, you know, up
and
at this.
It's just like, is this filmed in front of like a studio of Raiders fans? Like, this is a really like important trauma in her life that she's trying to work through. And you're like, cowgirl up,
Raider
pussy.
Raider fans are dicks.
Tell us more about the little girl peeing herself. Yeah. A dance performance.
And then Rose also is pretty like non-supportive. Yeah. She's just like, well, shut up. You're going. I don't give a shit if you're scared.
Right. You know? She says, if you pee yourself, you better break into a singing in the rain.
Pretty good burn, Rose.
Pretty good burn. Yeah. That was witty for her. And that was a weird character change for
sociopath her. Sociopath Rose is pretty witty.
Right. She has two levels. Like sociopath and then dumb dits. Okay. So then they go to the dance, which was, I thought that part was just, I don't know. That scene was unnecessary, really. They could have done something else. And so then they go back to the hospital room, and it's the next morning. Dorothy's being, she's already on the bed. And then she wakes up. Oh, it's Sophia's.
She's groggy. She's groggy, and she's waking up from surgery.
Sophia's there, too.
She's
Probably stealing people's pills and stuff.
Right, stealing people's pills. Yeah.
Definitely.
Drunk, passed out. That's why she was
able to... They let me do the operation.
Everyone can sneak into this hotel hospital, apparently, and perform surgery and be crazy doctors. And so, and that's why she was able to sleep on that chair for 8 hours, because she was wasted. Mm-hmm. Somebody's been watching clouds. and so then Dorothy starts waking up. She's like, well, Ma, what are you doing here? And she's like, of course I'm here. Like, I wouldn't be anywhere else. I haven't gone anywhere. And a part of me was like, that was Sophia's way of trying to make up for not being there for Dorothy. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally. Like, yeah. And so I was like, oh, wow, Sophia does have a heart. Yes. Yeah, but they're not.
She's like, I drink myself sympathetic.
You're just lucky none of your relatives were murdered this time.
Oh, there were. Yeah. Somewhere someone died related to her. And so then she's like, where's Bonnie? She's gone. And then we never see Bonnie again.
She's quote, getting sandwiches from the cafeteria.
Yeah.
In the sky.
In the sky.
The great cafeteria. The great hospital cafeteria in the sky.
Yeah, she couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like, I mean, because when she looks over and she's like, oh, where's Bonnie? And the bed's empty. And I was like, okay, yeah, so she died. That's where right. we're going to go. And then she's like, no, I sent her out for sandwiches. But then she doesn't come back ever. And the episode just ends. So it's like, I don't buy that story from Sophia.
That is such bullshit. You know, she killed her.
Yeah, I have a feeling she's like, well, I wanted the bed, so she had to go.
You know? She like killed her. Yeah. And then, and also, okay, even if she didn't kill her and hide the body, like in that hotel hospital, like she just got her boobs cut off. Why are you sending someone to get you a sandwich that just had this very complicated surgery?
Yeah, like, why is she even awake to get sandwiches?
Yeah, like
jacked up on anesthetic. Although at this hospital, they might not do that.
Yeah, they don't have anesthetic. They just push a pillow. Yeah.
They're just like, bite down on this bar.
Bite down on this shoe.
Yeah. You have to bring your own shoe from home if you want something to bite down on. We're not made of money. Fucking Obamacare.
You have to bring in a shoe that was thrown over some electrical lines.
Bring your own shoe hospital. Oh man,
the hobo hospital.
The Cloud Society's hospital. Yeah. And so Bonnie's dead. Probably.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. She's right. definitely right. did not survive.
Or they like switched her boob with Dorothy's foot or something. I got it. I got this.
We got this part here. You seem cheerful. You know what stretches. Would you like a boob foot?
The double donation transplant, right? Right, guys? Oh, man. Okay. So, yay. So Dorothy has a new boob foot.
Boob foot.
Yeah. And then, again, and then Blanche and Rose come in, and they're wearing their trench coats and they're super excited to, you know, and bubbly, and they're like, oh, we did really good. Are you okay? I don't even know if they ask her, are you okay? They probably did. But they're like, they bring these top hats and canes, like into the hospital. And, like, they couldn't have left them in the car. Like,
yeah.
They were planning on this, obviously, right?
They and came so, to rub it in her face.
Rub it in her face. Yeah. And so they put the shit on Bonnie's bed because she's long gone now. And then they're like... And then they're like, how did it go? And they're like, really good. And then they're like, oh, they invited us to do this fucking other old people ball. And then...
Cotillion. I think they calls it a cotillion.
Cotillion.
Like cotillion.
That's how you know it's for old people.
Oh. Yeah, they're like, yeah. And we got to do a show. We're going to do a show in Palm Beach. Palm Beach, anybody?
Hey, name dropping.
We're going to be in Hollywood. Hollywood, Florida.
And
ever heard of it?
Ever heard of it? And then they're like, and then they're like, and then Dorothy's like, oh, I'll be really good in a day because apparently you recover in a day from boob foot transplant. And so they're like, oh, we kind of changed our act. We used to be the tip tap trio, and now we are. The two married widows. Yeah. The two married widows. And then they close the curtain divider of the two beds, and then they open it and they're wearing their tuxedo dance dresses.
Doors open, by the way.
Yeah, the door of the hospital room hanging wide open.
Way open. Music starts to Rose says, hit it, Blanche. What music? Did they manipulate the PA system in the hospital? Like,
I mean, I think because it seems clear that they came specifically to rub this in.
It played entirely.
Worked it out with an orderly ahead of time. Like, all right, put this on when we say
it. Played
hit
throughout
it.
The hospital. Hospital/Ramada Inn.
Bonnie's in charge of the PA. They just have her working the oh no, but she's dead. And so they start tap dancing, not even in front of Dorothy. Like they just like they're facing the audience, like they're breaking the fourth wall. And then they grab these flowers and throw them on Dorothy's face. And Dorothy's like,
get this joy out of here.
I can't touch flowers. And then get this joy out of here. And then they finish dancing and then everyone claps.
And it's a good dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good dance. It's adorable. Yeah. The adorbs.
My husband said he got a boner from it.
It's a dancing boner.
Says Jeff Lipman approved.
Jeff Lipman boner approved. And then Dorothy's like, "That was lovely, Rose. Can I see your hat?" And then she punches the hat.
Power fist.
Like she's done this before, and then like
she's destroyed a hat before. We know this.
Yeah, we said she destroys a hat on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And so she punches the hat like all the way to her like shoulder, and her smile on her face is so like creepy. She's like grinning and just really gnarly.
It's been so long since I've destroyed something.
It's been 8 hours since I've destroyed a piece of clothing, fabric, a piece of fabric. And then the show ends.
Yeah. No Bonnie.
No Bonnie.
That story
right.
She never comes back with those sandwiches.
Never. She got lost. She
got lost.
She got, loaded
she got murdered. She went to go get sandwiches in the sky. So, yeah, they just needed to cut time for the tap dance.
So, like, yeah, she needs. So Dorothy needs the surgery so that she can be in the recital. But then she goes and gets the surgery after, like, all these red flags. Like, you probably shouldn't get this surgery here. It's right. A really dangerous hospital.
Oh, no, a different one.
And then she goes and gets the surgery anyway. And then she doesn't get to be in the recital. And then they, like, maliciously come back. And like, we cut you from the act, by the way. All of this was for nothing.
Right. Yeah. They say, we cut you from the act. And now we're going to dance in front of you.
Yeah, boom.
Boom. Yeah.
We got new costumes.
they don't come in your size.
Yeah.
You see Dorothy wearing those spandex? Like, I cannot. No. I do not want
to. Yeah.
And so that's it. We did it, guys.
We did it. Yay. We recapped a whole episode.
Once again. All right. So, Sean, this is so much fun. Thank you for doing this.
And thank you for starting a podcast so that I could be on it.
Yay. We did it just for you. We would love to have you back sometime soon.
Oh, thank you. I would love to be back.
Sometime during the second season. It's coming up soon. But tell us, this comes out on Wednesday, so promote anything that you would like.
All right. So I'm in a sketch comedy troupe here in Arizona called Bully Mammoth. I don't know when our next live show is yet. We're actually focusing more on like filming sketches for YouTube. So we'll have those coming out probably over the course of the next couple months. So we're on YouTube. Just search for Bully Mammoth and we'll come up. I also have
Very good listeners. I love them.
We are. We're good. But then I also have my friend Keith Wilson. He's another Arizona comedian. And then our friend Brooks. He's not a comedian, so I don't know if I want to give his whole name. But we have
Brooks, no name.
Yeah, he's like Brooks, Cher. Last name's not your business. But we have like a web show kind of. It's you guys familiar with Mystery Science Theater 3000?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those guys have a website called rifftracks.com, and people can like make their own commentary tracks for movies. And so we've been doing that for like 6 or 7 years.
Wow.
Really?
So,
cool. We didn't know this. Oh,
that's
cool.
That's actually how I
we'll promote
got
it on
into
the
comedy.
Podcast.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Because my friend Keith and I were doing that, and we wanted to do a live show. And so we booked time at like the Comedy Spot or something. Mm. And then we went to a show, and we're like, well, this won't work. There's not the apparatus here that we can, like, the infrastructure doesn't exist. And so since we had the time booked, Keith was like, I'm just going to do stand up, I'll give it a try. And I watched him do that, and I was like, oh, that looked really fun. And so then I did it, and that's how I got into doing stand-up.
Yay.
Wow.
That's my origin story.
Yay. We all have origin stories.
But yeah, so that our moving, riffing
show. We're called Sinister Theater. That's C-I-N-E-S-T-E-R Theater. You can also search for that on YouTube. We have a bunch of videos and stuff there. So.
Cool. Very That's cool. exciting. And where can we find you on Twitter? What's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is it's at Sean M. Putnam, which is my real last name. But I don't really use Twitter very much. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. It's weird to me, so I'm afraid of it. I'm on Facebook.
Go on Facebook.
I do a lot of Facebooking.
Look for Sean Collins on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm Sean Collins on Facebook, so yeah. My job doesn't find out how much shit I talk about.
And look up Bully Mammoth. They're on YouTube and they do live performances and they're really funny. And Genevieve, where are you going to be?
All right. Well, I have a show in my very house on Monday, February 16th. That's going to be the next one. It's at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, that's basically, yeah.
We can hear the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something's happening.
I'm just pretending they're cheering for the news of the show here. Yeah,
yay, a show.
Oh my god!
Great job. We love you the Golden Girls.
It's so great that you guys are doing this.
I'm so glad you guys are put up speakers and the whole neighborhood can hear the podcast.
Cool. Yeah, so I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as a Genevieve Rice. My real name. I'm unafraid and self-employed.
She's very brave.
Yay. Okay. Yay. So that's at Genevieve Price, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so, and I'm at Anthony DeSimito. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Anthony DeSimito. Real name, I'm not self-employed, so I just don't care anymore. And
He's
so.
Like
unlike Sophia. And so February 7th I'll be at Prescott with Molly and
I can't go.
That's fine. Okay. So Prescott with Molly Dean, and that is gonna be February 7th at 9. Bricks and Boners. And then that's what I'm calling it. It's Bricks and Boners. And so and then I'm going to be at Arizona's Funniest Comedian Contest on February 11th at the Tempe Improv at 8 p.m. Hope that goes well. And February 13th, I'll be at The Stories Objection. Yay, at Space 55 at 10:30.
That's fun. It's a good show.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And also, along with our individual Twitters and shows and stuff, the podcast has its own Twitter. It's a he, I guess. And
and identifies as he.
It made the full transition. Bruce Jenner did all the way. And then, so it's Thank You for Being a Podcast as an acronym at TIFBAB. You can, And we're at thankyouforbeingapodcast.libsyn.com. That's our home website. But we're also on Stitcher and iTunes of the same name. And you can find us on facebook.com/ thank you for being a podcast. Thank you guys for listening. And yay, we did it.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me.
Like my mama taught me.
Gonna take the chicken.